Hi, it's Karen Webster, and welcome to Topic TBD, our weekly show that talks about a topic that is trending, making the news, and is newsworthy. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Ajay Yadav, the founder and CEO of Roomy. Ajay, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Karen.
So a little background about Roomy. Roomy is a digital platform that helps people find flexible and affordable co-living solutions. So the topic today is obviously the shared economy and the role of technology in removing the frictions from activities that were once done in a purely analog or friction-filled digital environment, like finding a roommate. So Ajay, the concept of finding a roommate is clearly not new. There have been many ways to do it, little post-its on bulletin boards, classifieds in the paper in the Stone Age, and in more modern times, Craigslist, of course. But what part of finding a roommate do you set out to solve that other platforms and other methods really have not been able to?
It's definitely not a new problem. You know, it's been around for decades now, and I think I started the company because I was struggling, and I was using those old methods like Craigslist and asking my friends or, you know, just asking my colleagues, hey, do you know anyone who might have a room to rent out, or do you know anyone who's looking for a roommate? And it was all pretty good, but I think what happened is, you know, I was still stuck in this whole thing where I'm sending a bunch of emails to people that I don't know anything about them. And I would go and see a place. I might like a place, I might not like a place, but, you know, place is as important as a person. So there was this element of this profiles or, you know, personality or the roommate information was missing. So we thought, why not just create a platform where you can actually see people and places? So kind of bringing that trust back to anyone. And we were inspired by, you know, Airbnb and Uber and other platforms in shared economy that help you connect with random people, but you can trust them.
So you've decided that this notion of going out and finding a roommate, co-sharing a living space with someone you don't know, is now a way of life.
Yes, because, you know, you can't rely on just friends and your family and colleagues. This is a big world, and there's so many people out there, amazing people. And I think it's all about, you know, sometimes, you know, you hear stories about that. Yeah, I live with my best friend, but we are terrible roommates. And you hear this a lot, like a very common thing, actually. And or you'll hear, like, random strangers, but we're amazing roommates, because I think we're trying to find something in common or not in common. But how do you really connect with these people who you've never met before? And can you trust them? So we think that we can kind of bring the trust to the marketplace by verifying identities, verifying profiles, doing background checks on people, and also asking them a lot of information, you know, using LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and then also asking lifestyle preferences questions. So that kind of gives us a really nice profile where everyone is showcasing who they are, and then it's your choice. You know, if you like him, then you go and live with them. If you don't like him, then it's totally fine.
So let's talk a little bit about the verification process. So let's say I have a room in my home and I want to advertise that on Roomy. What do I have to do to qualify to put my listing up on Roomy?
So you can start with, you know, first maybe, you know, downloading our iPhone app, Android, or you can simply log on to our website. And we start something basic where we're asking you, you know, a bunch of pictures, so if you can share some pictures about the room or the apartment, and then asking your preferences. You know, are you looking for someone who's a student, maybe a professional, this kind of stuff, like what would you prefer? And then deposit, what's the deposit, rent, start date, all these basic questions about the room, and also what are your preferences around your next roommate. And once we have all that information in amenities and all the rules, we would wait to approve it, and our process on the backside works where we reach out to the customer and we ask him, okay, this is a great listing, it's approved. And if, let's say, something is missing, you know, sometime if you only upload one picture, one photo, now that's not enough. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not enough for anyone to kind of really see what the room looks like. So we kind of ask him, hey, would you mind, you can send us some pictures, we can help you upload some pictures, or would you mind taking some pictures? We want to, you know, focus on the best experience possible. And sometimes there are cases where we kind of see, like, I don't know if the place is real or the room is actually good enough to be in Roomy. Mm-hmm. Just verifying the, do you actually live there? And we ask them to give us a copy of utility bill or a copy of a lease. Mm-hmm. We now have been asking more and more people to do that, just mm-hmm. to kind of make it a default way to approve listings, so that, you know, it's not even a guessing work anymore. Let's just create the best trusted platform in the market and ask everyone to play by the same rules so we can all trust each other.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of background check would you do on me?
So we're using a third-party service, just to start with that. We use something basic. You know, we're looking at definitely, you know, sex offenders, drivers, you know, we're looking at your driving history or any eviction report, let's say you don't pay bills on time, the stuff like that, you know, mm-hmm. any criminal record, national or mm-hmm. local county check, the stuff like that. You want to make sure that we have the data to kind of educate other people what's really happening.
Got it. You know, I was on your site and I was taking a look at what's available in Boston and Beacon Hill where I live, and I have to say it was funny to look at the different profiles. You know, the rooms are one thing, but you know, there are some interesting pictures, the descriptions, you know, what do you like to do? How often do you clean your apartment? Every couple days? I like dogs. I like to take walks on Sunday in the park. It's a lot more than just, I have this really cool place and I really like to have someone share it with me. It's almost sort of match.com for roommates.
That's a really good point. And I think it kind of goes back to us. Like, why are you building Roomy? I think if you ask someone, let's say you moved to a random city, let's say I moved to Boston, where I know no one. And if you keep that idea in mind and you think about that, your experience is going to be as good as the people around you. I mean, place is one thing, but you want to really feel that you know people and you can hang out, you can do stuff together. But that's what we're saying the future of living is going to be around sharing homes. But sharing home can't be just like you go home and sleep and you just like kind of move on with your life. I think it's about creating those experiences where people do things together. And then you're going to enjoy the city actually more. So I think that's why people express more, mm-hmm. and they're trying to find roommates who would somehow something have in common with them. Or maybe it's not in common, and they prefer, okay, this is great for me. Like someone likes to cook, and if you like to cook as well, I think it's a great fit. On a mm-hmm. weekend, you know, two roommates maybe cooking together. Or maybe yoga or biking or some other stuff, you know, you can do together.
Got it. Yeah, and or take long walks on the beach on Sundays.
You know, if you like that,
whatever floats your boat. So how'd you get started? You had this problem yourself, and you wanted to build a business around it. So what came next?
So I actually experienced the problem for over a decade, and my first apartment was a studio apartment in Queens, and I shared that with I think five roommates. So a lot of roommates, you know, just saving money. Mm-hmm. It kind of started out as I can't afford to do it. And I thought, you know, maybe one day I'm going to get a job, I'm going to graduate, and then that'd be a great time to live by myself. But the prices have been increasing, right. I think, way faster than my income. So mm-hmm. now it becomes a lifestyle choice, mm-hmm. not like a, yes, I can't afford it anymore. Of course I can't. That's the underlying thing behind it. But now I also want to have an amazing experience. So I think that was the thing behind founding Roomy. But I bootstrapped the company for 2 years, mm-hmm. so 2013 to 2015, and then it's just not me anymore. We are now 43 employees.
Wow.
Most of them are in New York, and some distributing team members. And I'm just excited to help other people now find amazing roommates.
So how did you first assemble the listings? You had to go out and get inventory. How did you convince people to put their apartment or room on Roomy?
So Roomy was founded on, I started as a blog actually, so a Tumblr blog. So what I did, I created a blog and we had a Google Docs form and then I had a Twitter account. So what I would do, I would sit all day on Twitter and anyone who was tweeting about you know, graduating or moving to New York, or my roommate, you know, left or moved out, I would just like kind of like find those people on Hootsuite and just tweet and say, hey guys, you know, this is a great platform. You know, if you're looking for a roommate, if you have a room, happy to post your listing. So a lot of times people would share their listings from other places, maybe Craigslist or Facebook, or just like send me the data. And I would take all that information and upload that to the blog. So I would improve the pictures, make it look better, kind of simplify the format. And then again, I would sit on Twitter all day and just like now tweet that link to people. Hey, here's a great apartment, great roommate. Why don't you check it out? So that kind of became the early, early days, you know, like a growth engine. And I did that for over 6 months, actually, the same thing.
Wow.
And that's how we got the listings.
So in New York, was it in New York?
Yes, in New York.
Right.
Yeah, all in New York, yeah.
And so how did you decide it was time to create the app and the website? So you've been doing this blog, sitting in front of Twitter, you know, eyes glazed over, tracking everyone's tweets. How did you decide it was now enough of a critical mass of inventory to actually establish its own separate use case and app and business?
Yeah, so for me, the motivation was around that if anyone is going to find a place, or do people really need it, you know? And the more I saw, like, wow, people are really struggling. I mean, at one point, I remember sending, like, links to people from Craigslist. So I had no listings, actually. And I said, you know what, I don't have any data, but if you let me know what you're looking for, think of me as your personal assistant, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go online, I'm going to find you the best listings possible that you're going to like and to send it to you. And that's what really showed me the pain point. It was really big. Mm-hmm. And so I said, you know what, I think there's a problem here. I think early traction shows me that people really want the solution. And I ended up deciding, you know, to build the first app.
What is the experience of the individual with the apartment and then the roommates? I noticed a lot of them are very short term, so 1 to 3 months, 5 to 6 months. Does the person who's renting the room or looking for a roommate, is this a temporary thing, or did they turn over roommates because they feel like they're going to get tired of someone in 5 months? What's the behavior? What's the behavior of the person with the who's looking for the roommate?
Yeah, you know, we didn't see that actually come in when I started the company. I was all about like, hey, 12-month leases, right? Like long term, that's how people live together. Mm-hmm. But what happened is people are now actually moving out and just you know, living for short term. And the reasons that we have done, you know, testing and surveys is around, first is opportunities. I think young people are now looking for better opportunities all the time. So if you look at like data for like startups now, like no one stays in a company more than 2 years, mm-hmm. most of the people. So if people are going to move so frequently, and given that we have the trust in the market, so I mean, from dating to finding new friends to Uber or accommodation to all these things, it's extremely easy now. So I think the easier it actually gets to do all these things, what it does, it allows people to move more frequently and like create more frictionless experience. So now if I get a job in Chicago, let's say, in 4 months or 6 months, if I'm unhappy at my work, then I'm going to leave. Mm-hmm. It's easy now to leave. I can just make new friends and mm-hmm. do all these things. I think that's the trend that's driving that. And few other things we see behind this is more like freelancing community. Mm-hmm. I mean, more and more people are now freelancing and traveling and nomadic culture. Then you have people starting their own businesses. So I think all these trends are like more, I would say, generational trend. That's actually helping to, you know, move more frequently. And I think that's what we're seeing in Roomie now.
Is there an opportunity for the person who is becoming the roommate to rate their experience? Do you have ratings? I didn't pay attention. Do you have ratings on your site?
Great question. We don't have it yet, but you're right. I think we're actually working on it. Hopefully in 2018, we should be able to launch something where you can rate the experience, because that's really going to help people understand if I want to really move there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And do you have any liability if something goes wrong, since you've done the vetting of the individual who's, you know, whose room or apartment is on your site, do you have any liability, or do you is there assumed liability from the person who's renting that room or co-sharing?
I mean, this is definitely a tricky answer, right? Because legally, there's no liability because mm-hmm. I think it's been designed in such a way where we're not telling you who to live with, right? I think the liability, of course, is there, and I think that's more as a brand, as a company, as a trust, right? And if something fantastic happens, we'll have to be responsible for that and just, of course, work with everyone to make it better. But what we've done, actually, to help people is when we do background check, the way we have done these things, so you never see, actually, the background check of a person. You would never see that. All you see is a checkbox. If it passes it, you see a checkbox. But also what we do is we're not making it like a mandatory thing. So people say, I prefer someone who's been verified, but they don't say that I need someone, they have to have the verification to live with me. So we're not making it mandatory. We're just making an option for people to say, you know what, if I prefer someone, it's up to you. They can be checked or not checked, but it's up to you to decide if you're going to live with that person. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to maintain that distance, but also help them. So one thing we did now recently, one more, is people actually bring their own leases and they sign it. But sometimes, you know, they don't know how the process works. They sometimes forget to sign something on paper. They just believe that, hey, you know, I'm giving you my word and you're going to stay here. You're going to pay your rent on time. But, you know, that's not enough. Mm-hmm. So we created and, you know, used our own resources to create a free template for, like, room and agreements. You know, so things like that actually help people put things in paper, maybe, you know, get verified. So I think that's going to help with kind of making it better. But yes, of course, if something goes wrong, I think there's definitely we'll take the responsibility for the brand and the trust and all the other things.
How do you make money?
So we make money by booking now. So you can book places online just like you do on Airbnb. Mm-hmm. So what we're moving towards is a process where you think that why are you still, you know, of course, you go and see a place, you're giving them a check or maybe a PayPal, Venmo, but you have no record of all these things. We want to help people that, hey, you know what, I like the place, I'm going to sign the lease, and here's the money on Roomie. And once I move in, I can release the fund. Everyone kind of feels safe, mm-hmm. and no one would have to ask that kind of uncomfortable question that, hey, you know, where's the money?
Mm-hmm. So what
you take a small fee.
So what you're saying is if you would put money in escrow, in other words?
Yes, yes, you hold it. Yep.
And then release it. Interesting. What kind of feedback are you getting from your community, both those who are looking for roommates and roommates looking for a place to share?
One feedback that's been consistent is, first is more and more cities. Like Roomie is very focused on New York right now, but we do operate, I mean, have the site live in 21 plus cities in the U.S. and Canada. But they want more cities to, you know, we need to open up more cities. Actually, that's the first request. Second, they want more verification features, actually. So mm-hmm. they want everyone to be, like, verified. It makes them feel safe. It just makes them feel, I'm dealing with a community that's, like, trusted and also wants to do something same that I'm willing to put up with, you know, give my information to everyone. I mean, get verified. So these are, like, few requests that we get all the time. And that's pretty much it.
Who is you know, I looked on it, and maybe this is just the way Boston is you know, situated right now on your site, but a lot of women are looking for roommates. I didn't see a lot of men looking for roommates. Is that consistent across all your cities?
It's actually as a company. We have roughly, I think, over 51% women. Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
And I think if you think about it, right, like we talk a lot about trust. See, I've been, like, mentioning that word again and again, and I think you can now see that. I was seeing that too early days, and I think that, of course, a woman is definitely a bigger issue, and we want to help everyone, but I think trust is a factor. Like, we want to make sure we help people feel safe, and I think we have more women users than actually males.
Interesting. So how do you decide what city to go to next? What factors do you examine before you then take on a city and look to build inventory?
That kind of goes back to when I was building Roomie, I had no resources, and bootstrapping, you had no money. So it was in New York, but I ended up launching a page. So you can request your city. I thought, you know, let people at least request a city, because I wouldn't know, like, who's requesting from where. And so we actually, that's the first step. We look at that data, and we look at the top 10 cities and see which one actually would be good for us to launch. That's how we do it. And the second is market research. We want to make sure there's enough supply. So we kind of focus on supply first to figure out which cities would be good fit for us.
How do you get supply? I mean, I'm looking at some of the numbers. Maybe these aren't exactly current, but 1 million registered users, 250,000 rooms. Seems like a good...
Yeah, that's very recent.
Okay. Sounds like a good critical mass, but how do you get enough density in a particular city so that people feel that they have choice?
That's true, and I think we struggle with that a lot because, you know, that's why you can't expand everywhere, because you can open up the site and it's totally fine, but we have to actually spend a lot of time and money in one city, mm-hmm. because when more and more people hear about Roomie, then more and more people actually list their apartments and rooms in Roomie. So that's why we've been really focused on New York. But it's mostly organic, so over 60% of our traffic is still organic. Hmm. And we do spend money on, you know, offline ads and subways, and we do Facebook ads, and so spending money on marketing.
Got it. Do most people who have places on Roomie also have places on other sites? So they do they still advertise on Craigslist and Facebook and other places, or are they just on your platform?
I think probably. One thing we've seen recently is we kind of now have almost or more listings on active listings on a daily basis compared to Craigslist in New York. So that's been a big, big, big achievement for our company. So we think the next step is going to be, I think, in 2018 when those listings are going to be on Roomie before they go on any other platform.
Oh, great. So it gives you a little bit of exclusivity, a little early.
It does, yes.
Yeah. Well, and I think people like that too. I mean, people definitely like seeing things first and the insider access that gives them.
Yes.
So London's on your hit list in terms of one of the next cities. Why expand outside of the U.S. before expanding inside of the U.S. and other cities that may have the same sort of requirements?
That's true. So I think London for us is, so we think of like expansion, not in terms of countries, but the cities actually. Mm-hmm. So we look at like transient cities who are, you know, dense cities and all the other stuff, like, you know, definitely population is a big factor, you know, the renting, the prices, all that stuff. So after New York, if you look at it, I think actually even if you compare all the cities in the U.S. and you compare London, London is definitely clearly an easy choice after New York. Mm-hmm. So we want to go to places where there's just so much, problem with demand and supply. You know, like people are struggling. And if we can go there, and since it's so tight and dense, it's for us, it's definitely hard. It takes longer, but once you kind of crack the market, you grow really fast. So if we can do that and create a network of cities where people can move around the world, that'd be easier for us to then just stick to U.S. and just keep launching in all these one by one. But we'll definitely go based on how big the city is and the problem. And it's also based on how we're raising capital and our investor base and all those things kind of come in place as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the migration, if that's even the right way to describe it, of your users. So, you know, you described this very transient workforce that may move to a city, try a job, not like it, move to another city, try a job, maybe not like it. Do you have patterns that you're observing and seeing your users go from city to city that gives you confidence of trying to create more inventory or density in particular city pairs?
Yeah, I think in some cities, if you look at it, very clear choices are, you know, New York, LA, and San Francisco. Mm-hmm. You know, you have these, you know, people moving and living and sharing because of the companies they work in and just a job, and also the city itself is very transient in nature. So that's kind of an easy one. But at a bigger scale, I think we have, you know, movement happening from smaller cities to the bigger cities. Mm-hmm. That happens a lot. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the one. But we've also seen this other workforce that's kind of like a temporary workforce, and like how you work at Google and Facebook, and you have to work in three different offices. You know, you got Bangalore, you got London, then you got Dublin, or you got like New York, you know. But you have to kind of spend, you know, like a month, maybe 2 months at a time, and you want to keep your apartment now, mm-hmm. in, let's say you live in New York, but you still want to be able to, you know, save money and live at these places. Well, how do you do it? You can't rent an Airbnb. You can't go to a hotel. Your company is not going to support you for a very long time. You do want to get to know people if you're going to be living in these random cities. I think then Roomy is a choice. And that's why we believe that, you know, anyone should be able to move anywhere and feel at home. Just allow people to move.
Interesting. So 2018 is right around the corner. What should we expect from Roomy in 2018?
A lot of new product changes. We have been working really hard to double down on our safety and trust features and making them even better and faster. We are working on definitely big campaigns in New York just to make sure that, you know, Roomy is the default choice for people living in New York, and then expansion. I think we're going to be finalizing one or two cities in 2018 to announce that, okay, this is where we're going to go.
I would think San Francisco would be a very big opportunity for you.
It definitely is a really big opportunity. But before that, LA is actually bigger than SF.
Oh, really?
LA is our second biggest market, yeah.
Why is that?
Even today, if you go to LA, it's just, if you think of the city size, it's much bigger, but also more transient than SF. And also just kind of spread out, but you have more supply.
Interesting. Well, Ajay, this has been a fascinating conversation about a very interesting platform that responds to a trend in the market, certainly sharing the sharing economy, and in this case, really trying to create a safe and trusted, to use your words, co-living environment for people that want that. So really enjoy learning more about your company. Thanks very much for the opportunity.
Thank you so much.
And have a great day, and everyone who listened, have a great rest of your day and a good weekend. Bye-bye now.